Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, hello and good morning. Another beautiful day here in Seattle. We're enjoying it. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Samira Umeb off today.
She is in Dallas.
She is in Dallas learning all sorts of medical wonderfulness.
Yeah, I sent her down for a meeting. Actually, it's a meeting I wanted to go to.
Oh, but
I've got some other things going on that I couldn't go. So I said, hey, Samira.
You go.
Go to Dallas. And so that's where she's been for the last, several days, and I think she comes home tomorrow.
Okay. Do you think she'll come home with one of those Texas accents or a love
not
for barbecue?
Likely.
Probably not. Okay.
Barbecue, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe barbecue. Maybe, but somehow I don't see my elegant Hindi wife with a Texas accent.
That's right. Okay. So, I agree. You know, mate, if she had cowboy boots on,
cowboy
they would look,
boots she might have.
As long as there was enough bling, I think
that's
she could
right.
pull
yeah,
that off.
She would do cowboy boots if they had bling. That's true.
So, Dr. Umeb, if you're listening, we miss you already. All right. Well, we are going to dive right in and talk medical news. Before I do that, let me give you the phone number. This is a live call-in show, which means you have a question about something, you'd like to talk to Dr. Mixon about a health thing or a diagnosis or maybe something that is working for you and you're so glad you want to say, hey, this is awesome, or maybe not. We would love to talk with you. Yes. Love it when longevity patients call in and say, you know, I've been a patient for 20 years, or I love it when they say, hey, it's only been a month or two or three and already I'm seeing some wonderful changes in my life.
Well, we do like people with wonderful changes.
There we go. So whatever your questions, we'll take those calls in a few moments. Here's that toll-free number, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770 to get on the show today. All right. So what is new in medical news, Dr. Mixon?
Oh, well, let's see. We did, of course, recently get approval for a third dose for we older folks, but also first two doses for children as young as 5, so 5 to 12. That one, I'm still looking at the data.
Okay.
On that one.
Even though it's been approved, you're like, okay.
Well, it's emergency approval.
Okay.
And I don't see an emergency with small children because small children seldom get very sick with COVID. Mm. Yeah, like I said, we have more kids shot in any given month in the city of Chicago than have died in the entire country of COVID in the last 2 years.
Wow. So, look at those statistics, folks.
Yeah. You know, you're a whole lot more dangerous taking your child to Chicago that they may get shot than you are to live in the United States for years at a time with COVID.
Okay.
So, you know, kids, the cost-benefit analysis is different from kids than us old folks. You know, you're an adult and you're overweight or you're diabetic or you have high blood pressure or you're even in good health and over 65, yeah, you darn well better get shots and you need your boosters. You're 7, 8, 9 years old. If you catch COVID, you're more likely to have a sniffle for a few days.
Okay.
Chances of a serious illness are very, very low. So the emergency is.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. The emergency purportedly, of course, is that if the kid may just have a sniffle, but they have the virus and the kid might give it to grandpa.
Yes, that would be
a high risk.
That lives in the household or they see often.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand that. And that's why, you know, we should all consider seriously immunizing our small children, especially if they're around elderly people very much, or someone else in the household is a diabetic or has high blood pressure or is overweight. And you got to realize 50% of adult Americans are overweight to obese. So half of the households that kids will be in have someone that is overweight or obese and is at high risk. So yeah, if you're a chubby, you might want to immunize your kid because okay. you are
if
at
you're
risk.
A chubby. Yeah. That's doctor speak for too much fat.
That's right.
Lose that.
Yeah. And of course that's a better alternative. Just get rid of your fat. Mm-hmm. But that's a long-term project. You know, we can't decide. Unlike the magazines at the checkout counter in the grocery store, you know, I don't care what you do. You are not getting a bikini body in 3 weeks.
You can't do that?
No. You know, human physiology has limits. And bikini bodies in 3 weeks, if you start out at 200 and something, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm a little phlegmy this morning.
There you go.
So, yeah, you know, I have a 9-year-old at home. My wife and I are both lean. We are both healthy. We are both fit. And we are both immunized. And I just got my booster last week.
That's right.
So, you know, am I at any risk from my daughter? No. Is my wife at risk from my daughter? No. Is my daughter at risk? No. Then I should immunize her. Why?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to watch. We're going to wait and see what happens. So I am, you know, I am not anti-vax. As I said, I'm not only vaxxed, I'm boosted.
Correct.
And
yes.
My 40-something-year-old wife is vaxxed, but not yet boosted because she's too young for the boost. But as soon as it's available, I will get her boosted. Still thinking about my daughter.
Okay. All right. About how long has it taken in the past to go from emergency use only to full approval?
You know, I don't remember the last time there was an emergency use authorization.
Okay. It's only been with COVID.
Yeah. There must have been some other instance. But yeah, I mean, and for it to have stayed emergency use for over a year, that's kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
Because emergencies are usually true emergencies. This is now a endemic disease. You know, it has passed the epidemic phase, depending on where you live. I mean, we are still at about, you know, 27 cases per 100,000 here in Washington.
Okay. And what is the national average this week?
27, 28.
Okay.
So we're still right at the national average.
Okay.
Florida, of course, still has the lowest case count in the country. You know, they are 6 and 7
wow.
on any given
Very
day.
Very low. Good.
Yeah. So, you know, Florida is a fourth or less of Washington state, despite the fact they have no mandates. They are forbidden to do mask mandates in school.
Okay.
The courts just upheld that. That keeps going back and forth. A court will say, oh, no, you can't forbid a school to put mask mandates. And the next court says, yes, you can.
Yes, you
the governor can do
oh,
it.
Oh, boy.
So that's going back and forth. But
Okay. Generally,
there are no mask mandates in Florida at all. You don't have to show any kind of immunization proof to get in a restaurant. It is a free state. People are living their life. And yet we have 4.5 times as much COVID here with all of our falderaw that they've got there. So, you know, you draw your own conclusions from that.
You can figure it out. What is the highest state or some of the highest states in the nation right now?
What'd
you say?
Well, we are
one of them, aren't we?
Higher, yeah.
Okay.
There's a rapid rise in New England right now.
Okay.
Montana. The cold country, basically, where people are going inside. They're not outside anymore because it's getting pretty chilly and they're turning on the heat and the air is circulating. And if you're inside with someone that has COVID and you stay inside for very long, your risk of getting COVID goes up.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter whether you are 6 foot or 2 feet or 40 feet, the virus is going through the HVAC, through the air circulation system.
Okay.
And so if you've got a forced air circulation that is heating and cooling the building, and you're in that building, and anyone in the building has COVID, you're at increased risk.
All right. Wow.
And wearing a silly little cloth mask is not going to protect you.
But it matches my outfit, so many people will say.
You want to wear it to match your outfit? That's great.
Or they'll have some phrase on it.
Yeah. You know, if you're wearing a mask and it says, you know, let's go Brandon.
Oh, Brandon, whatever. Yes, let's go Brandon.
Let's go Brandon on your mask. That's fine with me. I've ordered two of them, by the way.
Yeah.
So just to drive my liberal neighbors crazy.
There you go. Yes.
But then again, I sometimes poke the bear.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, I'm deciding whether to get a new car or whether to wrap my 5-year-old Tesla with an American flag wrap. You know, I just, for some reason, many of my neighbors would find an American flag on my car to be triggering.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And you know, don't we live in America?
It's an American-made car, driven by an American, in America.
In America,
and
with
the
American
neighbor,
flag.
Yeah, with an American flag, and the American neighbors would find it triggering. I don't understand that.
Anyway, yeah.
On the other hand, my Russian, my Puerto Rican, my Hispanic, my Chinese, my Pakistani neighbors, they would all cheer.
They would all cheer. Of course they would.
For some reason, it's the people born in America that tend to be anti-American, the people that have chosen this country to escape their socialist hellholes, love America.
Yeah. They get it. They see it. And they've been outside the county.
Yep.
Sometimes the other has not.
It's kind of weird.
Traveled very far. So,
oh, well.
All right. Anything else in medical news that you can see?
No, you know, not a whole lot of stuff. There are some really fascinating things on serum tests for multiple cancers. You know, there's some people came up 10, 12 years ago that were some blood tests that were not very specific, but that would indicate whether or not you might have a tumor hiding somewhere.
Oh,
okay. And so I've had patients, you know, say, will you do this test for me? And my answer is all fine, but if it's positive, I have no idea what you got where. You know, we still got to do a far more traditional workup. And we don't know what the false positive rate is because...
Boy, would that be jarring.
Yeah, you don't want a test that says you got a cancer hiding somewhere and it turns out to be a false positive.
Oh, wow.
And you don't really know what the false positive rate is. Mm-hmm. It could be 1% or 70%. I have no idea. They're making progress on that. We are now getting some... they're referring them now as liquid biopsies, in which you can start to do some blood tests looking for markers in your serum that might indicate a specific type of tumor that is growing somewhere. So and they're starting to say, you know, if you've got these markers, you have a high probability of having a colon cancer, or those markers, you might have a high probability of a lung cancer, or these markers might be a uterine cancer. They're not yet on the market, but the research is fascinating and they're making great progress. So I'm hoping that in the next couple of years, we'll start to see some real progress with that. Maybe we can do a blood test and screen you for 6 or 8 of the most common tumors with a single blood test. Wouldn't that be sweet?
Oh, that would be, especially if you've had family, parents.
For those of you who are going to call the clinic and say, I want that test. I'm sorry, it's not on the market
yet.
Okay.
Are you watching?
Right. This is research stuff. All right. Just because it is being researched doesn't mean it's ready for prime time. But I'm encouraged with the progress I'm seeing.
That's
good
news.
I'm hoping that in the fairly near future, as in the next couple of years.
Okay.
We'll be seeing that.
All right. Okay. Some updates of what's going on in the medical news with Dr. Mixon. We're opening the phone lines up just for you right now. 800-465-8770. We'd love to chat with you today. Dr. Mixon is here. I'm here. I'll say hello, but Dr. Mixon, he'll be the one to answer the questions. Yeah. 800-465-8770 is the number. We'll be back with Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. You stay close. We'll be right back.
my wife was the one who listened. She goes, you got to listen to this guy. It makes a lot of sense. You know, he just made a lot of good common sense. You know, like you said, you don't measure, you don't know. I mean, physically, I'm stronger and faster than I was 10 years ago.
Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Today, Dr. Umat is off. She is in Dallas learning all sorts of things. Medical, right?
That's right. All medical. That's,
and she'll be ready to answer.
She may have a little bit of fun
questions
while she's there, too. But
I hope so.
I don't begrudge her that. I just wish I were having more fun myself.
I know. Oh, I'm not fun in the studio.
You know, but I am having, I got a great article on, you know, flow cytometry for diagnosis of, in urine. So why not? I mean, as we point out, my reading habits
reading
are a little kinky
different
compared to some people.
A little bit different. Yeah. I got a manicure and put little Hawaiian flowers on my nails because that's
nails,
where I'll be tomorrow.
See, I've only had one mani pedicure in my life.
And?
I did it in Mexico probably 20 years ago. I had a girlfriend who wanted to get me manied and pettied. Manied and pettied. Yeah, it wasn't that great an experience.
Oh, okay.
I never did
it's
it since.
Either wonderful or...
I did it for her. You know, men will do the weirdest things for women.
I know. Isn't that awesome? I mean, yeah, I know.
Oh, well.
All right. We'll take it. We got some calls here. And if you have a question, here's the number. It's 800-465-8770. Let's go to Kirkland. Ken is on the line.
Hello, Ken. Ken.
Quick question. You were talking about how in the wintertime, when we're all in these kind of closed cells of forced air systems, how it spreads COVID around. Is there a way or a particular filtering media that you could use to capture, filter out?
Good question. And the answer is yes, there are several. Although let me expand on your answer just a little bit. It's not just winter. For instance, Florida hit 100 cases per 100,000, briefly this summer when it was 95 degrees and 98% humidity and everybody went inside to the air conditioning. Because the HVAC and air conditioning does the same thing to you that the heating does. You know, you're inside and nobody's outside because it was muggy and miserable. So they got a lot of COVID in Florida in July. And then the weather started to moderate. They all went outside. COVID dropped to zip. Okay. So yes. And the Northeast is seeing a flare now because they're all going indoors again. So it's staying inside instead of out, and it's limiting air, fresh air exposure that does us the damage. Now, more to the point of your question, yes, there are several different systems out there. In fact, my company president just put in a new air conditioning and heating system in his house this summer that has a precipitation system. It actually takes all the dust and viral particles. It inactivates some of them, but it causes them to precipitate in clump so that the filters, the HEPA filters, will pick them up and prevent them from circulating in the house.
Oh, wow.
I don't know exactly what it paid for that system, but I think it was like $25,000 or something. So it's not something you'll do out of this week's petty cash.
I'm going to do it this week on a spur of the moment.
You know, there are other systems that use things like intense ultraviolet light to inactivate viruses. And, you know, they're effectively filtration systems that start with a filter. And then as the air is pulled through, they go through a big box. And inside the box is very intense ultraviolet light that inactivates virtually every virus known to man. And then the air comes out the other side, effectively sterilized. You know, those have limits in the amount of air that they will treat in any given second. My gym basically put them in every big room.
Oh, wow.
So if you go in the weightlifting room, there's one up on the wall. In the, you know, in the treadmill room, there's one up on the wall. So they have like six or seven of them scattered through the gym to sterilize as much of the air as is practical. It's probably not perfect. A central system would probably work better, but you know, they got what they got.
What about airplanes? That used to be the scary place to get all the germs. And
airplanes have got wonderful HEPA filtration
systems. That's what I'm hoping and hearing. Okay.
Yeah. The risk of catching COVID on a modern airplane is extremely low.
Okay.
It's down in the tiny, tiny fractions of you know, millionths.
Okay. So those of you who always get a cold when you fly, you may be
you're
doing
a lot
better.
Less dangerous to me now.
There you go. So, yes.
But even there, you know, if you're going to fly, if you can afford first class, get up there because there are fewer people. Your best bet is a window seat, not an aisle seat, because fewer people come walking by you breathing and coughing.
There you go. Another good tip.
And so you want a, if you're in the back of the bus, get a window seat. Okay. Worst case is probably the center seat with people on both sides of you hacking and coughing.
And the little kid kicking in the back.
That's right. But airplanes are generally very safe. Your problem is exposure before the air gets pulled through the system.
Mm.
But the air is changed, you know, several times a minute up there now. So they're exchanging the air very quickly. So airplanes, I don't worry about much. I fly a fair bit. I'm flying down to L.A. Wednesday of this week and coming back Thursday, you know, so I'll be on an airplane twice in 2 days.
Wow. Woo.
Yeah. But I'm not in the least worried about it.
Nope. Okay.
But I do have a first class window seat.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm chicken. Well, you know, I'm 74 years old. I want to
Every precaution.
Cut my risk as much as I reasonably can.
Makes sense.
Anyway, does that answer your question? Or
is
at
that
least
good, Ken?
Make a attempt at it?
The company that I buy filters from have them shipped. There is some medical grade HEPA filters available. They're kind of pricey, and I didn't want to buy one or a half a dozen of them if they really don't do the job.
Well, they help, but here's the thing: if you're just in the house with your spouse, you know, you're only exposed to her. Now, if you have a lot of guests coming through your house, that's a different issue. You know, my wife is very social, and I think half the Chinese immigrants in the state of Washington make it through my house at some point or another.
They've come to visit, yes.
So, you know, if you're social, if you get a lot of visitors in your home, then yes, it's probably a good idea. If it's just you and your wife, it might be a waste of money. But if you own a business, spring for it for your business, certainly. That's you.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Ken.
All right. Take care, Ken. Good luck.
All right. We're going to jump over to Ron. He is calling in from Puyallup. Ron has a question. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Ron.
Hi, guys. Hi.
How can we help,
sir? Jerry, what advice would you have for a 78-year-old, very, very healthy guy who just found out that he carries a mutation on his BRCA2 gene and has a PSA that's gone over 20 years from about 1.1 to about 3.1, and would you continue with testosterone and progesterone therapy?
Yeah, I probably would. It depends on what his PSA has done in the last 12 months.
The last 12 months it's gone from 2.8 to 3.1 maybe.
Okay, so minimal rise. Yeah,
right.
78 years old, statistically, if we took you to surgery and removed your prostate and sent the entire prostate in block to the path lab and they sectioned it carefully, we have about a 75% chance that somewhere in your prostate we would find a little focus of prostate cancer. Okay, and that's just because of your age. That doesn't mean that you have a clinically significant prostate cancer. Here's the fascinating thing. This is what we, in our clinic, we refer to as the Detroit study. Back in the 90s, the pathology department in Detroit took every male death of essentially every single person they could get an excuse to do a autopsy on. So every violent death, every unexplained death, every death, you know, they could get them in. They took out the prostates and they looked at them very carefully with step sections. And what they found is that if you look at men in their 30s, they've got a 25 to 30% chance that there is a tiny focus of prostate cancer already hiding there. In their 40s, it's 40%. In their 50s, it's 50%. In their 60s, it's 60%. And it goes up about 10% per decade that if you look closely enough, you can find some prostate cancer in essentially every old man. But most of them are never going to have a problem with their prostate. Their immune system suppresses that cancer very nicely. Even men diagnosed with a prostate cancer because their PSA got so high or their prostate got so big that they went in and they biopsied it and they found a cancer. If you have a low-grade cancer, a Gleason 6 or 7, there's a 93% chance that that man, even though he now has a diagnosis of prostate cancer, over the next 15 years, only 6 or 7% of those cancers will grow and cause him any trouble.
But one thing to keep in mind is if you have a mutation on your BRCA2 gene,
yes,
from what I have read, if you do get a prostate cancer, it's likely to be of the aggressive type.
That's right. And so now we're going to, but we're now going to go from the general to your specific, okay?
Okay.
The good news, the bad news in yours is that you are, you're BRAC positive. That means you have a higher risk of several cancers, including prostate cancer.
Right.
The good news for you is the rate of rise of your PSA is relatively slow. If you get a doubling of your PSA in less than 1 year, you have a statistically high risk of an aggressive tumor that will spread and cause you serious problems. But if your PSA has only gone from 2.8 to 3.1 or 2 in a year, not likely to have a rapidly growing tumor. But you are a person that I would watch very closely. I'd probably send you off for a MRI and an ultrasound of your prostate. And if they can localize a specific lesion, I'd biopsy that lesion and I'd send it for a genetic analysis.
Great. And I am enrolled in Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. They have a special program for genetically altered cancers, you know, one thing, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, because we now know the markers that if you can actually biopsy that particular lesion, we can give you a very, very good, very, very good answer about what your risk of it growing and spreading and causing you trouble.
So. Thank you, Jerry. I hear the music, and you're my man. I probably trust you more than anybody I know in medicine. So thank you for your show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Ron, for your call.
Pretty good.
All right, here is the phone number. If you'd like to get through like Ron and Ken did this morning, we would love to talk with you. It's 800-465-8770. Call with your questions and talk to the man, 800-465-8770. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in a moment.
I think it's a wonderful thing. Not reacting after the problems, it's trying to prevent the problems from happening in the first place. And the thing I like the most about everything that I've learned is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense.
Primrose Lane, life's a holiday on Primrose Lane, just a holiday on Primrose Lane.
And welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. We're not on Primrose Lane, but we are in beautiful Seattle.
Oh, but you realize, I just saw an article this morning saying that the Seattle is the most anxiety-ridden city in the country.
Wow.
Which is
that makes me anxious.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's kind of interesting. I didn't realize they did this, but apparently... the Census Bureau runs a Lilly evaluation every year, and they ask one or two questions about the mental health of their respondents. And they checked every major city in the country, apparently. And the highest incidence of people reporting, self-reporting, that they were anxious and ridden with worries and concerned was Seattle.
Wow.
Now, I got to tell you, over here in Kirkland, I'm not terribly worried. We have bucolic little pleasant place over here. But if I lived in Seattle, I'd be anxious,
too. I think I might be, yeah. But,
I want a place where the police aren't told you can't arrest criminals. Mm-hmm. You know, I just personally, I kind of like to be able to wave and smile and have my friendly police officer, you know, drive by and wave back.
Absolutely. I love my neighbor that parks his right out front. I'm like, hey, park it in my driveway if you'd like. I love that police car. Oh, okay. Boy. Okay. Well, not a list we want to be the top of
Seattle.
So, come on, folks.
On the other hand, I understand that, you know, after a year or so ago, they were trying to chase all the police out of Seattle. Mm-hmm. And they succeeded.
Yep.
And they demoralized them, and the police in Seattle really are afraid to do their job. Mm-hmm. They're now offering a $25,000 bonus for any police officer dumb enough to come work in Seattle.
Oh, boy.
So they're trying to get them back.
They're wanting them back now.
They're wanting them back.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Will they learn? We'll find out, right?
We'll see.
Okay.
Well, the question is, are there police officers willing to believe that the Seattle City Council and mayor have changed their tune? Because I don't think they have.
No.
If I was a cop, I'd tell them, take your $25,000 and shove it. I'll go take the bonus that Florida is offering.
There you go.
Where I'm loved.
Okay. Absolutely. That's what happens. All right. Let's take a phone call. This time headed south to Tacoma. We have John, and John had a question concerning something at the beginning of our show today. Hi, John.
Yes. Good morning. I'm out here on my walk on the waterfront. I really appreciate your show every Saturday
morning. Well,
thank you, sir. I look really forward to it. Anyhow,
which waterfront are you walking on?
Ruston Way, right along the waterfront there.
Okay.
Dr. Mixon, I appreciate your morning monologue on the health news. I look forward to hearing that.
Okay.
But I need to push back. Need to push back on you a little bit.
Feel free.
So, NIH, the WHO, CDC, and Mr. Fauci, they're all claiming that the COVID vaccine is a vaccine.
Yeah.
Now there's two schools of thought, and I kind of heard your school of thought, so I want to ask you straight up.
Sure.
Are we getting immunized, or are we not? Because there's been some high-profile people that have gotten both shots and a booster. They still get sick, and some of them are even dying.
Yep.
I guess Jen Pasty and a couple people in the administration came up positive here this last week. So I would like you to clarify your position on whether you are actually immunized and you cannot pass it on once you get the vaccine, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And the second part of the question is, how do you feel about the VAERS website, the vaccine reaction reporting system there, and with 11,000 deaths and probably over 100,000 injuries. I'd like to hear what you think about that.
Sure. Two very different questions, okay? First of all, I'm not a big fan of semantics. I try to deal in objective fact, and as Mr. Clinton so famously taught us, it all depends on what the meaning of is. You know, what is your definition of a vaccine, et cetera? Many vaccines don't provide lifetime immunity. You know, you have to get your flu shot every year. It protects you for a while against one particular variant of the flu, and then it wears off. And so it doesn't cover every variant. The vaccine that we have developed now, this messenger RNA vaccine, we did not know when it was developed how long it would last. The hope was that it would be a multi-year vaccine and it would protect people for long periods of time. It turned out that if you're over 60, you lose about 50% of your protection in 5 months. So, you know, if you were 60 years old, people in their 60s and 70s only make about one-fifth as much antibody as people in their 20s. So it works very well against 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, but they weren't at high risk of dying in the first place. But they get pretty darn good protection for we don't know how long. We know that theirs is lasting considerably longer than us old folks. Us old folks, we lose. We drop from 95% protection down to 47% protection in 5 months. And it continues to drop thereafter. And that's an average. Some old folks have better immune systems than others. Some folks might still be 60 or 70% protected. Others will only be 20% protected. There's variation in human response to everything we do, including this vaccine. But if you were over 65, you were probably getting your vaccine 7 or 8 months ago. So all of the early people, the high-risk people that are in the most risk of dying, got their vaccine first. And that cohort of people have lost most of their immunity. And they are now getting sick. And some of them are dying because it wasn't as long-lasting as we had hoped. And it doesn't seem to give T-cell immunity. It's only B-cell antibody immunity, not memory cell immunity. So is it a vaccine? Depends on what your meaning of is. It is something that lowers your risk of infection for some period of time. How effective it's going to be is going to depend on your age and your otherwise general health. For those of us over 65, you know, I got my second shot February 8th. I probably only had 25 or 30% protection when I got my booster last week. So I'm now probably pretty well protected for some period of time. I don't know what that period of time is going to be. Again, I've got a 74-year-old immune system. I got a booster that we'll know a year from now how good the immunity is a year from now. It's a work in progress. So people that expected perfection, and I understand politicians oversold this way big, but that's not a problem with the science. That's a problem with the politicians and overpromising, as politicians always tend to overpromise.
No.
You know, they're always going to make everything hunky-dory for
us. That's right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm losing cell phone signal here, so I'll hear the rest of your comment off the phone here on the adverse reporting system and what you feel about that.
All right.
Thanks
for your time. Sure. I'll touch on that here in a minute. So, yeah. Depends on how you define vaccine. If your concept of vaccine is something that always protects you forever
and ever and ever,
then flu shots are not vaccines either.
No.
Okay. You've got a very few things such as
tetanus.
All
of those things.
Tetanus
not,
you got to redo every 10 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it too needed to be.
Yeah. So, you know, your tetanus, your typhoid, your flus, these all are time delineated. You know, other things seem to last longer. You know, chicken pox seems to be at least 30, 40 years.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see. The vaccine reporting system. Yeah, when I got my first shot, I signed up for a thing so that I got a text. And I got a text every day for the first couple of weeks wanting to know, have I had any adverse events? Did I get a fever? Did I get chills? Did I get, you know, sick in any way? And then it dropped down and it asked me every week. And then it asked me every month. And now it checks about every quarter, wants to know if I've had anything, you know, related to COVID. So it's a self-reporting system. There's also the reporting system for hospitals and doctors that they tend to report these things, to the vaccine reporting adverse events, but it's spotty. Some people are over aggressive. Some people are lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. It gives us a rough general idea.
Right. And their idea of, I feel exhausted. I feel like crap. Could be somebody else's, just a little down today.
You know, when I got my booster, I was sound asleep by 6:30 that night. I was exhausted. I got my shot at 8:30 in the morning. By 6:30 that night, I could barely move. I fell asleep. I slept 11 hours. I woke up the next day. I was stiff, a little achy all over, but functional. Slept good the next night. By the second day, I was fine.
Okay.
Is that an adverse reaction? Yes, it is. Is it a mild adverse reaction? Yes, it is. Are there people who had more severe reactions? Absolutely. Some people are sick for 2 or 3 days. Some people are going to get sick enough, they're going to die. We're back to Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There are going to be people that are be injured by anything in every intervention we do. And if we intervene with hundreds of millions of people, which is what we've done, thousands or tens of thousands of them are going to be injured by that. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to save millions from more serious injury. And so as public health decisions go, it's a reasonable public health decision. But every individual should be free to make their choice. So I am unalterably opposed to the mandates. I think that is government overreach. I think it is tyranny. I am opposed to it. I'm not opposed to vaccines. I am opposed to government telling us what we have to do with our bodies.
And taking our freedom away.
Yes.
Choice.
You got it.
There you go.
So we're free. We're free human beings. We should be allowed to make our own decisions. And we take the consequences of our decisions, whether we decide to take or not take.
There you go. Dr. Mixon and more, Leading Edge Medicine, and your calls, your questions. We'd love to hear from you at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Stay tuned.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that. So I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Don't let go, don't let go.
Come on, baby, it's time to rock.
Don't let go, don't let go.
I'm so happy I got you here.
Don't let go, don't let go.
Keeps me grinning from ear to ear.
Don't let go, don't let go.
Hi there, and welcome, and good morning. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and this is Leading Edge Medicine. Taking your phone calls at 800-465-8770.
Okay. I want to expand a little bit on public health decisions, too.
Okay.
The decisions you make as a public health officer are often different than the decisions you make as individuals for your own health. And let me give you a very classic example of that. For most of human history, periodically, waterborne diseases would sweep through a community. A water supply would get contaminated, and 30-40% of the people that depended on that water supply would die of, you know, some communicable disease. Now, we decided some time back to chlorinate the water supplies in our major cities. And virtually every major city in America is now drinking chlorinated water. And as a public health measure, that makes perfectly good sense, because who wants to have cholera sweep through Seattle and, you know, kill off 200,000 people? Mm. But it's also a scientific fact that chlorine creates chlorination disinfection byproducts. When chlorine is destroying protonaceous subjects, everything from the leaves and debris to the dead bodies of the animals that float into our reservoirs to the bacteria, etc., there are byproducts there that are produced that are known carcinogens. When chlorine rips apart proteins, it makes carcinogens. And so when we're drinking our chlorinated water, we are going to give cancer to a small percentage of our population. It's simply going to happen. People that are susceptible genetically or who have other immune system weaknesses, A few people every year are going to get cancer from drinking our chlorinated water. But the number of lives we save outweighs that by a factor of tens of thousands. Mm. All right. So you're making a decision for a population. You say, I recognize I'm going to kill a few people here, but I'm going to save a lot of people there. In the case of chlorine in water supplies, it's a very clear cost-benefit analysis. The number of lives saved, dramatically higher than the number of lives cost. On the other hand, as an individual, you can say, wait a minute, I'm getting old, I've got immune system issues, I don't want to drink my chlorinated water and get all that stuff and raise my personal risk for cancer. So I say, so you can say, I'm going to get a high filtration filter system put into my water supply, or I'm only going to drink distilled water in which I've, you know, boiled out those contaminants, and lower your personal risk. And say, it may be a risk that is fine for the population, but in my individual situation, I only want to drink distilled or specially filtered water. Fine.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's a personal choice as opposed to a public health choice. Okay, because you're making decisions for you as opposed to a population. And we do that. And we do that all the time in medicine. There are general population health issues that the people making the decisions have come to the conclusion that the benefits outweigh the risks and therefore it needs to be done. But I think we need to leave personal choice in the matter and let individuals say that may be a good decision as a public health matter, but for me, I'd rather take a chance on this rather than that. That's just where we are. Among your personal health choices, I think, but then again, recognize I am biased because I own the joint. I think everybody should come and at least start with a free health analysis evaluation at Longevity Medical Clinic. Mm-hmm. Because there are very few things in this world that are certain. Going downhill with age and eventually dying is among those.
That is true.
Okay. We can't make you younger. We can make you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier. We can allow you to live a more robust, joyous, fun-filled life. I firmly believe we can help you live significantly longer most of the time for most people. But we can't do it if we don't treat you.
That's right.
The only people I can help are those that will actually come and allow us to give them the help and the guidance and do the laboratory testing, write the prescriptions, offer the supplements, do the things that we need to do to make them healthier than they are now. And so I'd say you need to either call, okay, what is it, 866-86-YOUNG?
Yeah, I love that. You've got a great phone number. It's 866-86-YOUNG.
866-86-YOUNG. And you can set up an appointment or you go on our website and you pick the health analysis appointment on the website and make an appointment at any one of the three clinics. And they'll come in and they'll do a couple of free tests, a body analysis and a hemoglobin A1C. Those two tests will give us a pretty good picture of the degree of risk that you as an individual are under. Then if you are in a high-risk situation, we will then offer you, for a price, a much more intensive, large laboratory study that's going to let us break down pretty much what it's going to take to get you in a better place, what it's going to take to get you to where you really ought to be at your age. And then you can decide whether or not you want to be a patient. My hope is a lot of you are going to decide that you want to be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and generally healthier.
Yes.
And have a happier, more robust, more joy-filled life than your neighbors that don't come to longevity.
but like to complain about their aches, their pains, how tired yes. they are, and
listen,
all the weight they've gained.
If that's your joy in life, whimpering and moaning and complaining and saying how tough life is, fine.
Oh, boy.
But if you want to join those of us that are having a live out loud, full speed ahead, happy, joyous, fun-filled life, you need to come to Longevity Medical Clinic. It's pretty simple.
It's very simple. Wow, Dr. Mixon, I'm ready to go. Oh, wait, I'm already
You're already a patient.
I'm already a patient and already seeing results. Do what so many have done and give us a call. Get that free health analysis scheduled at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to lmclinic.com. That's a little shorter than longevitymedicalclinic.com, which also works. But lmclinic.com, there is where you pick the clinic nearest you. You can pick Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood, and come in for that free health analysis appointment. When you do, we have $100 in free supplements for you as well to get you on your way to being stronger, faster, leaner,
smarter,
and sexier. All right. So we want to see you in here for that free health analysis. Don't wait. Do that today. All right. Very important to do that. Get some answers. We're going to take some more phone calls in just a moment. 800-465-8770. Let's dive in. Steve is patiently waiting on the phone. He has a question. Steve's calling from Colorado, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Hi, Steve.
I was in Colorado in July.
There you
go. Hello, Steve. Where are you at in Colorado?
Highlands Ridge.
Oh, Highlands Ridge.
Okay.
It's just south of Denver, like
okay.
Yeah, okay.
30 minutes.
Yeah, I was over in Steamboat Springs.
Oh, yeah.
And and then we went down and stayed at the Stanley Hotel where they wrote The Shining.
The Shining.
My daughter was afraid to let me near an axe while we were there.
I think so.
Whatever.
I was looking for twins. Steve, you had a question.
Yeah.
How can we help, sir?
My dad has Alzheimer's a little bit.
Oh, dear.
And he's taken Don Petzl, gabapentin, Seroquel. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, I mean, I'm a patient there, and I've been a patient for a year. And what you said about just going to get the test, oh, my goodness. I couldn't run. I couldn't do push-ups. And literally now I'm running like a 6.5-minute mile.
Good for you.
Whoa.
So for me, it's turned around completely 100%. So,
well, I'm glad to hear it.
That is awesome.
So for my dad, can I give him the optimal memory, like one packet a day? I have a bag of
Yes. Yes, you can. And interesting, we just got that back in supply. You know, we had difficulty making. It's a very complex sort of supplement to put together. And so we had difficulties getting all the ingredients. But yes, we now just got a notice that we've got, I don't know how many, 60,000 bags or something coming in. So yes, feel free to spread. It's pretty darn innocuous.
Should I just start with one packet a day? Because the bag says two packets a day. I don't want to overwhelm them.
No, I always say start low, go slow, especially with older people. You know, and there's, I forget how many, there's like 8 pills in that packet. So that's a lot of pills for many older people to take.
Yeah.
So yeah, start with one packet a day. Make sure that he's not getting an upset stomach or rashes or anything before you push him any harder.
Can I grind some of them up and put it into liquid?
Yes. Yes, you can. In fact, and I've told many people to do that, is you throw it in your blender, you know, and make it a smoothie. Put something nice and, you know, tasty in it. Throw in some berries or something. The only bad thing is some of the B vitamins taste kind of yucky.
Yes, they do.
You know, but if you're going to blend it, just make sure you get something really tasty like strawberries or raspberries.
Yeah. Okay, I'm hungry now, Dr. Mixon. Right. Hope that's helpful, Steve. Do you have any more?
Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a great rest of your day.
Okay, take care, sir.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back. You can get through at 800-465-8770. Leading Edge Medicine.